Someone else?
परे ट्रांसेंडेंटल ब्रह्मणि इन द एब्सोल्यूट च एंड आत्मानम द सेल्फ परम द सुप्रीम ब्रह्मा एब्सोल्यूट तथा ऑल्सो इन हिमसेल्फ Vikshamanaha, thus observing, Vihaya, giving up, Iksham, reservation, Asmat, from this process, certainly, King Malayadhvaja could thus observe that the super soul was sitting by his side, and that he, as the individual soul, was sitting by the side of the super soul. Since both were together, there was no need for separate interests. Thus he ceased from such activities. Purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In the advanced stage of devotional service, the devotee does not see anything separate between his own interests and those of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Both interests become one, for the devotee does not act for a separate interest. Whatever he does in the interest of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At that time, he sees everything in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead in everything. Having attained this stage of understanding, he sees no distinction between the spiritual and material worlds. In perfect vision, the material world becomes the spiritual world due to its being the external energy of the Supreme Lord. For the perfect devotee, the energy and the energetic are non-different. Thus the so-called material world becomes spiritual. Sarvam khalav idam brahma. Everything is intended for the service of the Supreme Lord, and the expert devotee can utilize any so-called material thing for the Lord's service. One cannot serve the Lord without being situated on the spiritual platform. Thus if a so-called material thing is dovetailed in the service of the Lord, it is no longer to be considered material. Thus the pure devotee in his perfect vision sees from all angles. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kupa Sandhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shavasadi Gola Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So
King Malayadhwaja has retired from or stopped all his material activities. Asmat Upararama. In this process, in this devotional process, he has retired from or he has stopped all material activities because he has transcendental vision. The transcendental vision is that he sees the Paramatma sitting right next to him. So this means that until one develops such a vision, one will continue to do material activities. Material activities means he thinks that somehow his interest is a little different from Krishna's interest. Krishna has one interest, or Krishna has an interest. And that is that every living entity, or that particular living entity, must be fully connected to him in thoughts, words, and deeds. And that is the happiest position of that living entity. It's called the constitutional position. Swarupena vyavasthiti. That means to be in its natural harmony with God, the soul must be in a position of service. And in the conditioned state, the soul is in complete disharmony from the Absolute, from Krishna. And it is because he is in disharmony, he sees that he has a list of interests. Basically, the interest is that I want to be happy, and I have to find my happiness devoid of or outside of relationship with God. In fact, it is because he has a separate interest that the vision of the Lord is covered. So all his activities are not considering Krishna in the picture. At best, Krishna can come into the picture when he feels he wants something which is beyond his reach, and that by going to Krishna he can get it. So he goes to Krishna. This is different from service attitude. If I want something, and if the only way I can get it is by going to God, then I'll go to God because I want that thing. This is not devotional life. So from the conditioned state to the pure state, there has to be a process that purifies the person of the idea that there are separate interests. It's an illusion. It's called anartha, or called maya, or avidya, whatever we call it. That there is a separate interest for me, that I can become happy without Krishna. That needs to be rectified. Or that there has to be a process to come to understand that happiness doesn't lie outside, happiness is right here. It is within me. But people try. So people try karma. Karma means following very strictly the Vedic recommendations. I'm talking of pious persons. So they will follow Vedic Karmakanda regulation. Karmakanda says you should fast on this day, you should appease that demigod, you should follow all the rules and regulations of the grahas, you know, the planets, how they influence you. You should follow certain social, moral, ethical etiquettes, etc. Because these are all ways of minimizing sinful reactions, so that you can be elevated to a better position of living. This morning I was reading a nice statement that the demigods, what I was reading is the birth of Vritrasura. So in that introduction to that chapter, Prabhupada writes that some people follow the demigods. They think that if they worship the demigods, they can be saved and protected. And Prabhupada says, it's like trying to cross an ocean by holding on to the tail of a dog. Worship of the demigods is compared to that. He said, just because a dog can swim, it doesn't mean because you hold his tail, he's going to take you across the ocean. So demigods are powerful, but they don't have the ability to remove the selfish interest that the living entity has. In fact, they are not empowered for that purpose at all. Their purpose is that they can strengthen the separate interest. Unfortunately. But that's their purpose. So people think, oh, if I go to heavenly planets, things will be better. I can enjoy, I'll be happy. Or for that matter, they may aspire for mukti. Mukti because living in this material world is too much painful. There's a lot of suffering. Let me be in a state where all of this is not there. It's all negated. That is also separate interest. Genuine interest means under all circumstances, under all difficulties, whatever is the situation, that my interest is Krishna's interest, or Krishna's interest is my interest. Narayana Paraya Sarve Nakutaschana Bibhati Svarga Apavarga Narakeshu Apitulyartha Darshanam. Whether it's heavenly planets, whether it is hellish condition, or whether it is liberated condition, all they care about is service. What is it? What is Krishna's interest, and how can I fulfill Krishna's interest? This is the principle of unity. Unity means there are individuals who have a common interest. Now, in our case, or in the absolute case, that unity is that when everyone has Krishna's interest at heart. So in Ishopanishad, mantra 7 talks about it. Yasmin sarvani bhutani atmaiva bhud vidhanataha vijanataha tatra ko moha ko shoka ekatvam anupashyataha. Which means, translation, one who always sees all living entities as spiritual sparks, in quality one with the Lord, becomes a true knower of things. What then can be illusion or anxiety for him? This ekatvam anupashyataha, when one sees that one's interest is not different from Krishna's interest, for such a person it says ka moha ka shoka. Where can be illusion? Where can there be illusion or anxiety? Which means the corollary is true. Illusion and anxiety arise from having a different interest or a separate interest. Because when one has a separate interest, one is on his own. And one on one's own in this material world is called struggle for existence, karshati. One cannot survive in this material world on one's own. Therefore, one needs the shelter of a material body. And once he has a material body, then he is bound by the laws of karma, bound by the laws of material energy. So then there is no independence. So the purpose of human life is to come to understand this. Vijanataha. Atma eva abhut vijanataha. Vijanataha means to know. But how will one know? If one doesn't hear that one has the Paramatma sitting right next to him, guiding him. And if one doesn't understand that the Paramatma inspires the purpose of life. So yesterday we were hearing that the voice of the Paramatma can be a whisper, but we cannot hear the whisper because there is so much ambient noise. In fact, the slumber of the living entity is so intense that he cannot hear. However, the soul is being awakened. Just as Ravana represents the lusty nature of a living entity, Kumbhakarna represents the inertia or the ignorance of a living entity. Kumbhakarna had this blessing or curse that he will sleep for 6 months of the year and wake up only one day. And after he wakes up, he'll fall asleep again. So the conditioned living entity is like that, asleep. And not asleep like the devotees say, we are resting, Prabhu, but asleep, like in deep sleep. And in that deep sleep, when he had to be awakened, they tried everything. They poked his soles with lances and spears. For him it was not even a tickle. They had these loud gongs and they're not even called karta, they're called something. Gongs. Banging right next to his eardrum. It didn't matter to him. They pushed trees and twigs into his nostrils. Didn't matter. It didn't even arouse him. Yeah, just like a little tickle. Then they bought meat and wine and all these intoxicating foods and, you know, moved it near his nostrils, hoping that at least for food he will wake up. He didn't wake up. And finally when he wakes up for a day, he fights and then goes back to the same condition. So the conditioned living entity, because of habit, although gets little awakening, goes right back to the same old habits and tendencies and behaviors, because conditioned or habituated. So the process of devotional service is to remove that habit of immediately going back to thinking of his own interest first. Because when there is selfishness in the heart, love cannot reside. Love means to think of the other person, the beloved's interest. And absence of love or lust means to think of one's own interest first. So when we say the highest stage of perfection of life is prema bhakti, that means in that state all of one's considerations are only Krishna's interest and nothing else. In fact, that one doesn't think of one's own interest even for a moment, even for a speck of a moment. Anything about me? No, no. And for that matter, even if the individual has to go through tremendous amount of suffering, they don't see it as suffering. So to go to prema bhakti stage, one is starting from, you know, kama bhakti. I don't know if there's an official stage like that, but kama bhakti is completely selfish. So the whole process of devotional service is to take one from utter selfishness to abject selfless love. In between maybe other things, but it's the process of transformation. And in that process of transformation, Here Prabhupada is talking about dovetailing. It begins with, because a person is thinking of his selfish interests, the beginning stages of Krishna consciousness is to bring or dovetail one's interests somehow in the purview of or in the scope of Krishna's service. I like to cook and eat, so cook for Krishna, like that, offer to Krishna and then you eat what you like. I like to sing, you sing songs for Krishna. I like to paint, you paint about Krishna. I like to something, so you do it for Krishna. Here the interests are still separate, because the person is thinking of his pleasure. The acharyas and the process of devotional service is so accommodating that somehow or other it puts it into the scope of devotional life. It's called dovetailing. But it's not bhakti, or it's not pure bhakti. Krishna is just a vague concept at this stage. Maybe a little more discreet, oh, it's Krishna. But it is somehow my interest I am bringing into the picture of devotional life. It is my interest still. Then with purification, association and one's own maturity, Krishna becomes a distinct entity. Still far away, but an entity, meaning the sense of personalism awakens. Impersonal is still selfishness, you know, because one wants to be that Supreme, one wants to merge, one wants to awaken that state of existence, which is very neutral actually. It's the cessation of material suffering, but it does not awaken actual life. So people think that being in a neutral state is a state of happiness, which actually is, but it's not absolute happiness. Because neutrality cannot be the way of life. It is against the nature of soul. But it is better than the suffering condition. So Krishna is still a vague concept. Once bhakti begins, Vaidhi sadhana bhakti begins, then Krishna becomes a distinct entity. Oh, Krishna is a person. However, Krishna is a person at a distance. The loving relationship hasn't awakened. Because in Vaidhi sadhana bhakti, it's a conscious engagement. This is supposed to be for Krishna, it's not supposed to be for me. Krishna is a person, I'm supposed to serve Krishna. I'm supposed to please Krishna. Let me bring my consciousness to, this is for Krishna's pleasure. While this is happening, one is still, you know, being tugged or pulled by the selfish interests. So, sadhu sangha and bhajana kriya somehow orient the consciousness towards a higher concept that Krishna is a person and that his interests somehow have to become our interests. It's only after the anartha nivritti stage where there is nishtha. The nishtha is, I am now determined to live my life in such a way that I cultivate Krishna's interests. Then comes ruchi. I actually like what is Krishna's interest. Because prior to that, Krishna has this interest and I have this interest. And I have to consider, what to do? Should I go with Krishna's interest or should I go with my interest? If I go with my interest, then you know my suffering will continue. I'll become conditioned. It's called anartha. If I follow Krishna's instruction, it's very difficult for me. But what to do? Am I there? Am I not there? Maybe I should be honest and say I'm not there and just follow my thing. At least I'm being honest, which is fine. But What can I do to take that extra step? If I take that extra step, am I being artificial? Etc. But if I take Krishna's interest, then Krishna says, Ma Suchara, don't worry. The worry, the ka moha, ka shoka, the lamentation is, what if? Or what if something doesn't happen? What if something happens? Did I take an immaturely too big a step? Because I've been told, you know, don't act outside of your platform. Maybe I'm taking a very big, immature step. Maybe I should take smaller steps, baby step. All these considerations come up. Because still, Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, it's a conscious, deliberate consideration. In Raga Bhakti, one may still have these things going, but as soon as they understand what is Krishna's interest, they go for Krishna's interest. The spontaneous attraction to fulfilling Krishna's interest is their nature. Is their nature. From Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti comes Raga Bhakti. So yes, we shouldn't act artificially, but at the same time, we should not remain in this condition. We should take some extra step that is little outside of our comfort area to serve Krishna. That is our way of expressing to Krishna that I want to align with your interests. For such a person, there is no illusion or lamentation. Ka moha ka shoka. Where is there lamentation? Where is this illusion? So Prabhupada's giving us a principle that when the interest of the living entity aligns with the interest of Krishna, then he begins to spiritualize his activities. And because his activities involve material things, those material things also become spiritualized. That's the beginning of dovetailing. That's the process through which one becomes purified. Therefore, the bhakti is all about taking our belongings, our activities, and bringing them into the fold of service to Krishna. Therefore, you will see that Bhagavad Gita also progresses from karma yoga, from sakama karma yoga to nishkama karma yoga, and then to bhakti. So it may be food, it may be items, it may be things, but the principle is that anything when it's used in Krishna's service becomes spiritual. Brahmarpanam brahmahavir, brahmagnav brahmanahutam, brahmayvatena gantavyam, brahma karma samadhina. That the oblations, the ghee, the grains, the performer, the mantras, everything, everyone becomes spiritualized. Iron rod, when put on fire, carries the qualities of fire, although it's iron. So the living entity, when engaged in Krishna's service, takes on the qualities of Krishna. Or his pure spiritual nature is awakened. And such a time, all material activities stop. All material considerations stop, because Jitendra Prabhu has a favorite dialogue. You know, Jitendra Prabhu, when will this get done? Well, the subtle form of action has already begun. Which means I'm thinking about it. Because action first happens in the mind. Then it manifests as the gross movement of things. So stopping material activities does not only mean the stopping of the gross form of activity, it means the subtle activity is also stopped. That means that desire separate from Krishna's interest has stopped. And the only desires are desire for serving Krishna. This is Uparama, Uparama. Certainly, all of those material activities have stopped. So, any comments, questions? Jai Jagannath Prabhu.
Separate interest, or they're really sincerely trying to follow the interests of Guru and Krishna.
Yeah.
And you know, one may quote scripture, you know, Srila Prabhupada is told this, my Guru Maharaj is told that, or Krishna is told this, and therefore I want to pursue Krishna's interest by doing that. But still, one may not actually be aligned because the range of instructions that come, highly speaking, you can find anything to latch on to and think that you're working for the interest of Krishna and Guru. So how does a person in that type of situation understand if he's really just the little selfish program, or if he's really aligned with the interest of Guru and Krishna?
There are symptoms, moha and shoka, just staying in in the context of the Ishapanishad verse and this verse, moha and shoka still plague a person. Lamentation and illusion still plague a person. That means something is not proper. Now a person can also be careless. And a careless person definitely is an illusion. I don't worry about anything. Like, you know, people out in the world, I'm not afraid of anything. I'm not suffering. So the devotees say, well, this person is an illusion. So until and unless there is actually ruchi and bhava, there is something going on that is still not ekatvam anupashyata. That's not there. There will be some illusion and lamentation. Those are symptoms. It may be different degrees of illusions and lamentations. But those will still continue. Especially lamentation. Challenges will come. And in those challenges, that's where it comes. The lamentation will be... I mean, I've seen varieties of lamentations. Not that I know everything, but at least from my experience, the lamentations are all, why did I follow that instruction? Or the lamentation can be, I should have not followed that. I should have taken that instruction of Krishna instead of this instruction of Krishna. Oh, boo-hoo. When a person considers, I must have, I should have, I could have. These are all lamentations. That means the ekatvam is not there yet. I mean, this is a very high state, Prabhupada writes. In the advanced stage of devotional service, the devotee does not see anything separate between his own interests and those of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's talking of a very advanced stage. So, if one is not advanced, that means the interests are still separate. Now, one can cheat oneself by saying, I am very advanced. Then the illusion is also pretty advanced. But symptoms will continue. Is that okay? Well, the first is honesty. That yes, I have separate interests. And that separate interest, may Krishna remove it. Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye. That means these are there. For these to go, there's a previous stage, Trinadapi Suni Chena. Taroriva Sahishnu Namanina Manadena. Among the three things, Amanina is very tough. To give respect to everyone without any expectation of anything in return is a tough state. But that's the prerequisite. Then he says, Na dhanam, na janam, na sundari. That I don't have these interests. I don't want these interests. So it requires faithful cultivation of weeding out, of observation, of guidance, of where there might be some semblances or traces of on one's own interest. Now it doesn't mean that one doesn't protect one's own situation. And I just throw caution to the wind. Not like that. It means one is dependent on Krishna. Thoughtful, but dependent on Krishna. That in that situation I did everything that I could, but things turned out differently. Whatever, that is Krishna's will. However Krishna manifested it, I accept it. You were in Gita Nagari, the one phrase we heard was saying yes to Krishna. So saying yes to Krishna does not mean that our intelligence is turned off. It means with full volition we say yes to Krishna's arrangements. In that arrangements to saying yes means in that situation how best would Krishna like me to serve him. That is saying yes to Krishna. Sometimes people think just accepting whatever is happening in life is called saying yes to Krishna. That's not true. Krishna doesn't want us to be dull zombies or whatever situation happens, this is Krishna's arrangement, I should just go with it. The yes to Krishna is whatever is the situation, how best can I serve him in this situation, in this case. Given whatever I know, given whatever I've heard. And tomorrow that can change because my vision can become clearer. But at least I don't lament it. Yes, go on.
I have to add something. In advanced days, like, you know, for pure devotees, like, you know, Srila Prabhupada, and whatever they do, the action, it is directly controlled by Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that means their action, their, you know, speech, everything is directly controlled and led by Krishna.
Okay. Thank you. Go for the phone.
Process of dovetailing is seen that is unavoidable. It's like the option of we go out of the devotional service or when we are not advanced or we have to dovetail, it is not, or we deceit ourselves.
Correct.
So then the role of the spiritual master of authorities is you correct me if I'm wrong, is to engage the disciple of the devotees according to what they can, how they can serve, better according to their
interest.
Yeah, their interest. And it's not more a question that I have to dovetail, but I just have to follow and trust that the person I follow is understanding my psychology, whatever. And this is the person who is helping me to dovetail. Because in the previous purport, he was explained that we can follow Krishna, can give us instruction from within when we are very advanced in Raghunanda Bhakti.
Okay.
And meanwhile we follow the spiritual master. So then, shouldn't be more complicated in that sense. The dilemma that, well, if I'm following or I'm not dovetailing, if I'm just, we are following instructions.
Well, both are there. One is someone engaging us in service, but there is also our own volition, our own initiative. I'd like to serve Krishna this way. I'm thinking, you know, So let's say our lives before we're serving full time. Okay, I had a particular job and lifestyle, and I volunteered to serve Krishna by giving some money in charity. That's my donation. Now, the devotees know or knew that there is, I can serve Krishna more than just that. But because there is volition from my side, volition means I'm on my own serving Krishna, and that I'm thinking I have money and it's a nice thing to give charity to a temple. Temple needs Krishna, you know, money, and if I don't give money, how will the temple survive? So I used to give, and the devotees took. But that's just dovetailing, that I have a propensity to have a little charitable disposition, they took it. Although they know that I could do so much more in terms of service. But they didn't necessarily come to me and say, I know your nature, you just give donation, don't do anything else. But there is also both happening. I have certain nature and certain skill or ability, and the authorities know how to engage it. At the same time, there is my own volition as well. And the authorities need to learn to or know how to engage that individual initiative as well. Otherwise, if the bhakta says, I'm inspired to serve Krishna in this way, and the authority keeps saying, no, just do that way, then they don't feel that their expression of offering to Krishna is noticed or valued. There's not overemphasis on this side or overemphasis on this side. Authority or whoever needs to learn how to inspire both. Because there is full room for individual expression of Krishna consciousness. It's not always that, oh, you're told to do this and that's what you have to do. Suppose Jai Jagannath Prabhu, we'll just pick on him for a moment. He's not on schedule for aarti singing. If he picks up the harmonium and spontaneously sings for the deities, you can't tell him, you're not on the schedule. You have to encourage it. As long as it doesn't clash with something else or someone else, it has to be engaged, encouraged. I feel like, you know, serving in this manner. Encouraging. I can pick on Himanshu also if you want. I can pick on Himanshu also. Himanshu on his own is inspired, and he gets people together and organizes the Harinam. You don't hit him with a sledgehammer for that. That's nice. That's his individual expression of it. Harinam should happen, let's organize it, let's share it, and then let it happen. That's nice. It's not that he was told, can you please make sure Harinams are organized? He was not told. That's his.
Just proactive.
Yeah.
So, at least, because you are allowing that to happen, that you can be in another situation when you want to be proactive.
No,
but it's not accepted that.
And that's possible. There may be, you know, tomorrow he may come up with something that someone may say no. You know, Avelo. I shouldn't be saying it's all. Anyway, Avelo for many years had the problem with me, because he was a student at IIT, and his plan was, let's get these rock groups, you know, the devotee rock groups to campus, have a big stage and have massive, you know, rock shows. The devotees will chant Krishna, bang, bang. And I kept saying no. And he had a problem with that. So many people can hear about Krishna. I said, we don't know how to take care of so many people. We don't have the capacity. We can't even reach so many people. No, no, no. So I never encouraged him. My fault, I'm not saying it's my fault, or I'm not saying his fault. It's just that we saw things very differently. for example. So he didn't feel encouraged in that area.
Then, thank you for that. When we start the national service, in general, we are very open.
Mm.
I want to do this, I want to do that.
Yeah. Anything, Prabhu, any service, yeah. We are happy to do.
We are very spontaneous in opening our mind.
Correct.
And how we don't care much how do we behave. But then we start learning how we're supposed to behave. And how we're supposed to speak. And we start learning the roles that we should play. And then we start holding back. We may, I'm not saying everyone, but we may hold back the first person we were. Among devotees. So then after a while in living among devotees, if you have still those, you are behaving how you're supposed to behave, but it still will be inside you that you can say shadow of what remaining from your last personality.
Right.
But some sooner or later you will have to it will come out sooner or later. So so what is your advice? One should work that with the authority or one or by oneself, because it depends. The association you have, you can open that or you cannot open. Is it clear what I'm expressing?
Yeah.
Yeah?
When we first come to Krishna consciousness, we're very open-minded. And then we become conditioned by the rules and regulations of bhakti. He didn't use that language, but that's how I'm understanding. We become conditioned by. So while we're being conditioned, within somewhere in the background is still that original, I guess, free-spirited openness. So how to address that? Because it will either come up or interfere at some point in time. Not always that it will come up. In cases that it does come up. The basics of Sambandha Gyan must be clear. Because in the beginning, the devotees have a very wide open gate. That means anybody can come in and do any service you want to do. That's fine. However you want to express, you know, even on the street, even if to get them to chant Krishna's name one time, that service done. Oh, I'm chanting, you know, I knew someone who would say, I would wake up and I would chant in my bed. That's my practice of sadhana. Very good. Keep doing it. Or something, you know. We learned that we should offer everything to Krishna. So everything that I buy from the store, even in the restaurant, you know, I think of Krishna. I would get devotees to say, young persons to say, I went to the restaurant and as soon as the food was put in front of me, I first offered it to Krishna. Very good. The thought of Krishna. It's nice, although it's not offerable. But at least the spirit was there, like that. So the openness is there, but the avidhi purvakam, not properly done. So that, if that continues, then Rupa Goswami says, then it becomes a disturbance. Utpata eva kalpate. So the process of bhakti is to take the openness, the open-mindedness, to nurture the open-mindedness, but regulate the behaviors. The open-mindedness of serving Krishna is still there, and it should be nurtured and grown and deepened. But the behaviors are regulated, meaning according to the vidhis of Shastra, according to the vidhis of Purvaka Acharyas. Because the trajectory of bhakti is to become more responsible in one's service. As children, we do something, but as young adults, you know, you see that there is a little bit more strictness. Because now you're responsible. And when one becomes an adult, there is more responsibility. It's the same person, but things change according to their status of life, where they are, what responsibility they have. You know, when we were young children, we could run around without clothes on. We can't do that now. Same person. We can't do that now. So one's life is to be regulated by higher principles. But the same openness to serving Krishna must be there. I must be encouraged. Oh. So I was just going on and on. Is that what your question was? Oh, sorry. Oh, the norms. Ah, okay. Got it. No, you understood correct, because he's nodding his head that yes, you understood correctly. Okay. So then the community of devotees carries a responsibility to allow for individual expression. Because we also fall into, it's called groupthink. It's a term. Groupthink means everybody thinks exactly like this. And if you think a little differently, then whoa. Huh? Avidipurvakam. Avidipurvakam. Moghasha, Moghakarmana. Avidipurvakam. You think. There's a tendency, because we are one community, that we all think alike. But diversity means that different views can be valid, or at least that they have the room for expression. And each person's individual nature and style must be accommodated for. What can be, you know, anartha is when it is disruptive to the higher purpose. That can be given up. But individual style and personality must be accommodated. Otherwise, the tendency is to become robotic. You look the same, you say the same, you eat the same, you dress the same. That's robotic. So the danger of robotic thinking and behavior is taken care of by allowing, by either forum discussion or engagement different expressions. We're out of time, Himanshu. How can we experience that the Super Soul is guiding us? I mean, it's a very open-ended question. So naturally the answer is open-ended. First is, Krishna says that He's guiding us. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishta matta smritir jnanam apohanam cha. So He's saying that He is guiding. Then there is the idea of inspiration. However, inspiration is generally mixed. It can be sprouted by the mind or contaminated desire. It can also be Krishna's indication. So generally, whenever we have an inspiration, the way to check whether it is Krishna's inspiration or my mind is to hold that inspiration in the light of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Suppose I have an inspiration to go smoke. I can't say Super Soul inspired me to smoke, because Sadhu and Shastra and Guru don't say to do that. So our inspiration, when it is checked against the light of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, if it corroborates, then it is possible, highly possible, that it is Super Soul inspired. Because Krishna will not inspire something against. Now, if one's consciousness is affected by the modes of nature, depending upon which mode of nature is affecting, the Super Soul sanctions activities of that nature. Suppose a person who's cultivated or influenced by the mode of ignorance wants to smoke a cigarette, then the inspiration for the intelligence to tell him where to acquire a cigarette and how to do it is coming from Super Soul. Ye yatha mam prapadyante. So without Super Soul, the living entity, other than volition, cannot do anything else. So everything is taken care of by the Super Soul. So literally everything, daivam is one of the factors, right, of action. Daivanetra, karmana daivanetrena. Okay? Famous last words.
Unity and diversity is that phrase that people use sometimes, which you were expressing.
Sorry?
Unity and diversity.
Yeah.
Then we also hear serving Krishna with reservation or without reservation.
Yeah, today's verse it says iksham, reservation.
Yeah, so the without reservation is higher.
Correct.
And I thought that was that chapter, what, Karma Yoga, Action in Krishna Consciousness, chapter 5, whereas, but higher than that is Bhakti Yoga. And I remember when Prabhupada was pushing book distribution, you know, he just says, just be instrumental, you know, like a cog in the wheel. You know, you're not the doer, but you're, you know, you're serving the whole. And we, you know, united, we have more power, you know. But if we're all capriciously acting, then there's just commotional service instead of devotional service.
What is it? Navayogendra Maharaj has a saying. No emotion. You remember that? No emotion, no devotion, only commotion, or something like that. Every time he comes, he says it. Navayogendra Maharaj. Huh? No promotion. No emotion, no devotion, only commotion, no promotion or something like that. Anyway, so thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Krishna promises, Ma Sucha, no, don't worry, no fears. Because generally a person will not go beyond their comfort zone because they're worried. What if something else? No, we don't have to become overly analytical. Because that's not our process, to become overly